We're not looking for the Antichrist, we're looking for Jesus Christ, right? Yesterday, when I was preparing for today's update, I received two emails back to back. And one of the things I'm learning is, as the ancient proverb says, when one man calls you a donkey, pay no attention, but when two call you a donkey, get a saddle. You should see how many saddles I have. It's quite an impressive collection. So, in other words, let everything be established in the presence of two or more. Well, when I get two emails back to back about the same thing, it's incumbent upon me to address it, and such is the case here. What I'm speaking of is the prophecies about Donald Trump being placed in the highest office in the land as God's trumpet, God's man. Some have even played with the names Trump and Pence, Trump-Pence. You know, listen, whatever floats your boat, but listen, never mind. Let's just move on, because I don't have very much time here. Doubtless you've heard of this prophecy and the many others with it, all of which point to Trump being God's man for such a time as this. Again, I don't want to be dismissing of this, but I do have to be discerning of this, because there were many prophecies about Barack Obama being the last U.S. president. Remember that? What about that? By the way, where are those guys that wrote all those books about everything that was supposed to happen last year with the stock market? And I think they're laughing all the way to the bank. I think we have to be very careful when it comes to prophecies like this. One of the things I'm learning about Bible prophecy is that when you don't know, you stay with what you do know, and what you do know is that God's word always has the final word. I want to share with you three scriptures that to me are the litmus test by which to gauge any prophecy from anyone about anything. The first is from the Apostle Peter in his second epistle, chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. He says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed." The King James renders it the more sure word of prophecy, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, listen, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. I personally have a problem with decoded, mystery unlocked. That sounds like a private interpretation. You alone have the interpretation and have unlocked this mystery, and for $39.95, I too can know. Here's why. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3. The Apostle John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." Wow, Pastor, what are you saying, that these are false prophets? Well, I am a little bit suspect. When all the prophecies are about them, and there's no mention of salvation found in the person of Jesus Christ. That troubles me. That troubles me. I don't care how loud their prophetic trumpet is. If the centrality of it is not the person of Jesus Christ and salvation found in the person of Jesus Christ, then I'm suspect. The last one, Deuteronomy. And by the way, this is how you know whether or not a prophecy is true or not. whether a prophet is a false prophet or not. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. And by the way, it can't be fulfilled 99.9999999% ad infinitum. It has to be 100% accurate or it's not God. If that prophecy, this is why you can know that Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, I think is his name, and the plethora of others out there who make predictions and have prophecies. And oh, they, I guess that was that one. No, listen. If there's even an iota of a doubt in the clarity and the specificity of its fulfillment, it's not the Lord. It's not the Lord. And that's how you'll know. If it does not come to pass, then the Lord has not spoken it. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. And can I add? Of course I can. And you shall not buy books from him either. There, I said it.
Greetings and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean and the website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Today is Monday, January 23rd, 2017. And as promised, we are continuing to do our prophecy update podcast alongside our two weekly Bible study podcasts. But unfortunately, it has to be kind of random about when I do it, because instead of just trying to come up with a topic to talk about, I'm going to do the prophecy podcast when I'm led to do it. And so it may be another one in a couple of days, or it may be another week and a half before I do another one. But that's how it's going to work moving forward. And in our dedicated times, you can expect the Bible study podcast to come out, which in my opinion are a lot more important. So let's just get to the elephant in the room. Just a few days ago, on Friday, January 20th, Donald Trump was elected president of the United States. And I want to first start by saying, you know, I'm pretty pleased with that result, given the options that we had. I'm not going to get into politics and all of that because that doesn't interest me anymore. What I do want to say is a couple of things about it, though. Over the last few years, I've speculated and shared my speculation that Obama would probably be the last president of the United States based on kind of the director, or you know, the projection of where it seemed like that the United States was going and headed. And so now I have to say, you know what? I made that prediction, and I am pleased and happy and thrilled to say I was wrong about that. And I had hoped that I had been wrong. With that said, you know, I made that prediction as a possibility and presented it to you guys. But there was many out there, I call them YouTube prophets, who were doing a thus says the Lord, you know, that he's the last president. Not only were they prophesying that he was the last president, but that he was, in fact, the Antichrist. And I have to be honest, and I've shared this on the podcast and with people over the years, I've never once believed that to be true. He never met or fit you know, what's, you know, the descriptions given in the scriptures about the Antichrist. And when they would try to find things, like, for example, there was times where they'd say, well, he went to Bethlehem, you know, that's him standing in the holy place. That's not what the scriptures describe at all. And I always thought, you know, that's a really long way to walk for that. And there was many examples of this. And I thought, first of all, when this guy comes on the scene, you know, he's going to be loved and admired by the whole world. The whole world couldn't stand the Obamas. So it was just painfully obvious, right? But you have these YouTube prophets out there. And when I say YouTube prophets, friends, I'm not talking about Christians who teach, who have certain beliefs or convictions, and they share speculations. It's okay to speculate and ponder and talk amongst each other and say, hey, do you think this is a possibility? Do you think this is a possibility? And present it. You know, I'll give you an example. I've presented some alternative views to Mystery Babylon. But I've been very clear, you know, this is a point of view. I could be wrong. I'm not saying that this is the fact, but let's look at it from this angle and see what we come up with. Those kind of things are okay. But when you start saying, thus says the Lord, and making not just predictions, but prophesying these things are going to come when you're not even a prophet. There's so many of these people on YouTube that I could just scream. Some of them are still being shared a lot, and I'm seeing it on Facebook, and I'm like, why are you still following this woman? She clearly doesn't know what she's talking about. And there's many, many examples of this. One of the new things that's happening right now is Revelation 12 sign, right? That's supposed to happen September 23rd this year, and that's now the new rapture date. And I gotta tell you, friends, I'm very skeptical of this. I'm skeptical that it's really the Revelation 12 sign. And Jesus said, I'm coming at a time you think not. I'm coming at a time you think not. He says that multiple times. Now, there is the verse where he says, about that day and hour, nobody knows. And so people try to say, see, he's saying about that day and hour. It's not referring to nobody knows the day or the hour. Okay, that's fine. We don't need to use that scripture. There's plenty of scriptures where Christ warns about coming like a thief in the night. Coming at a time that you think not, and that you always need to be ready and watching, right? That's where we get our doctrine of imminence from. And so I would just want to, you know, caution you with the Revelation 12 thing. That's why I don't talk about it much. And while I won't be talking about it much moving in the future, because I'm not waiting and watching for that, I'm watching for Christ. I'm not watching for the Antichrist, I'm watching for Jesus Christ. And so I just wanted to kind of throw that out there, but admit, because here's the thing. I think if you're going to get behind a microphone or behind a video camera or stand in a pulpit and you're going to teach people about the Word of God and especially about Bible prophecy, when you make some mistakes or you get some things wrong, you have to own it. Otherwise, you lose credibility. You know, and so many people, they'll make these false claims and then they'll try to spin it or whatever. Fact is, I did fall into that trap believing that he was likely the last president with some pretty good reasons. But I was wrong, and I'm thankful about that. Lastly, on this subject, and then we're going to move on to something else. As in regards to Donald Trump, I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what kind of president he's going to be. I hope that he turns out to be a great president, obviously. This is the country I live in. I want it to be led appropriately. But there's this big danger out there of people putting their hope and trust in Trump. And I warned about this before he even got elected. How many times have I said Trump is not the savior, folks? And I feel like so many Christians are now going to be like, oh, well, now we're in a reprieve. Now it's time to, you know, get back to the world. And they're removing themselves from their post as a watcher, as a watchman. And I think that's very, very dangerous. All is not well because Donald Trump is president. End time prophecy is not stopped because Donald Trump is not president. End time prophecy is still moving forward at a rapid pace. And Donald Trump might be what God uses to keep it moving even quicker. You don't know how he's going to fit in, but what I do believe is that God's not going to be like, all right, I'm putting up the pause button in the middle of prophecy being unveiled, you know. I don't see that happening. Could I be wrong? Sure. I'm just a man, and I've never claimed to be a prophet. I'm just a man trying to examine these things, but I would caution you against putting your hope and trust in a man. Trust in the Lord only. Trust in the Lord only. Stop watching for the Antichrist. Start watching for Jesus Christ. Stop putting your hope in men like Donald Trump or whoever else. Do we have hope? Yes. Do we hope that he does a good job? Yes. But our ultimate hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ only. So with that, I want to end. This is going to be a short podcast. I want to wrap it up by sharing a devotional that I wrote for you guys on Saturday. If you don't know, on Saturday mornings, for the last month or so, I've been writing a Saturday morning devotional. I post it on the website at scriptureandprophecy.com. You can see the devotional tab at the top, and I also share it on social media, like Facebook as an example. And so if you enjoy them, I'd like to know about it, because otherwise I don't want to keep investing so much time writing them if nobody even enjoys them. So please let me know what you think about them. But I want to share this idea with you. And the idea is this: are you a scoffer or are you a watcher? And, you know, do you long for the world or do you long for his appearing? And we've talked about this a lot, but the great thing about God's word is you can never talk about these things too much, because they need to be, you know, kind of stored in our hearts and in our minds. You know, the Bible tells us that in the last days there will be scoffers. And what are they scoffing about? They're scoffing at the idea that Christ will be returning soon. 2 Peter 3:3-4 says this: knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is his promise? Or where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, I encounter people like this all the time. You tell them, hey, you know what? We're approaching the last days. Look at all the signs. Look at all the prophecies being fulfilled. You tell them, Jesus is coming soon. And what do? They scoff. These are also Christians I'm talking about, by the way. And you get the same old line. Well, people have always believed that we were in the last days. People have always believed that, you know, as if that's some type of an excuse to not watch or not pay attention. You know, and just like Peter prophesied. And to be honest, I know very few Christians. Very few. And I know I'm not, and by the way, I'm not talking about the hundreds of you that are going to listen to this podcast or even the thousands of you. I'm talking about the people I know, the people I run into and at church and, you know, that I run into personally. I know very few who are interested in talking about the return of our Savior Jesus Christ. You know what they're more interested in talking about? Football. Isn't that sad? Oh, well, I just believe in having a good attitude and that God's merciful. I'm not going to worry about these things. It's sad because it seems that they love the world more than they long for his appearing. You tell them it's time to get ready, and they take it lightly. I want you to remember that phrase, they take it lightly. Because Jesus told a parable about a similar situation in the book of Matthew. And really, I ought to read the whole parable instead of just giving you the verse. So give me just a second here. Go to Matthew 22. I'm just going to read the entire parable to you. It says, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. So here's the context. Jesus is saying, I'm going to tell you a short story about the kingdom of heaven and what it's like. He says, he sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. Right? And isn't that what we're doing? We're saying, hey, get ready. It's time. We're almost there. But they refused to come. Verse 4. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered. Hang on a second. Let me switch something over. Sorry about that. And again he sent forth his servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. And they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Did you catch verse 5? but they made light of it. And by the way, I had the wrong version pulled up when I pulled this up. I just entered in Matthew 22, and I didn't realize that Bible Gateway defaults to the NIV. Why that's important? Because at the beginning, it actually says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son." It's more specific. You catch that? It's a marriage for his son. Who's the king in this parable? God the Father. Who's the son? Jesus Christ. See how that's removed from the NIV? I wasn't even going to talk about that. But by accident that happened. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Verse 4, and again he sent forth servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come into the marriage. Verse 5, but they made light of it, and went their own ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And we'll just stop there on that and get back to the devotional. You see, they have a career to worry about, kids to raise, a goal or a dream. You know, they're busy. They're just too busy. And they can't be bothered with the idea that they need to be alert, watching, waiting, and praying for the coming king. This is why Jesus warns us to be ready, lest he come like a thief and take us by surprise. Look, we all have careers and jobs and kids and responsibilities. What the issue is here is that they're saying, hey, the wedding supper's prepared, it's time to come. And in the same way, God's got plenty of watchmen out there saying, look, prophecies being been fulfilled over the last few years. These are the birth pains, and eventually this is going to give birth to the real thing, meaning you need to be ready and right with God. Jesus is coming soon, and what do they say? Oh, you know, people, they take it lightly, right? People have always believed that, you know, well, I hope he doesn't come yet. You know, I want to see my kid graduate from college. Look, we all want to see our kids graduate high school, graduate college, but you shouldn't be wanting that more than you want to see the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, as for the few who are paying attention, the few who are watching, who are longing for his coming, I have great news for you. According to the scriptures, all who delight in the coming of the Lord will receive a crown of righteousness. Not only that, let's look at what Jesus had to say about those servants he found watching. If you go to Luke 12, verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Blessed are those who he finds watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. There's going to be great blessing, and a crown of righteousness for those who are waiting and watching and longing for the Lord's coming according to the scriptures. And there's going to be a lot of people who miss out on that. They might be saved, but they're missing out on so much reward because they love this world more than they love his appearing, and that's sad. So in closing, again, I ask you this simple question, and you need to ask yourself this and examine yourself. Are you a scoffer or are you a watcher? Do you long for him or are you longing for the things of this world? Is your hope and trust in him or is it in Donald Trump or whoever? Doesn't matter, wherever you live in the world. Be about your Father's business, keep your eye on what's going on, and be longing, watching, and praying for the return of the King. Jesus said, I am not coming back until they say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. So we want Jesus to come back. We need to be praying for it. I hope this podcast blessed you in some way. And I normally don't do one on Monday, but as promised, I had said, hey, if I turn out to be wrong, Donald Trump actually makes it through Inauguration Day, and Obama's out of the office, I will get on here and say I was wrong with gladness. And so that's what I've done. That's all I got for you this morning, friends. Peace and grace be with all of you. God bless.